Welcome home, everyone. Thank you for joining in on this episode of Welcome Home with the Katinas. Welcome Home is a podcast where I, your host Josh, sit down for a conversation with different people who I admire and discuss whatever's on their mind, and especially focus on life at home in times like this. Wherever you are, and however you're listening, thank you for your support, and once again, welcome home. Welcome, everybody. Thank you for joining in on this week's episode of Welcome Home with the Katinas. We are officially back. It is good to be back in the studio. I want to thank everyone who has been patient with us as we've been, you know, one, kind of adjusting to the new year, and two, trying to figure out how we're going to move forward with the podcast. And so if you're listening to this, thanks for tuning in. It's really exciting to be back. I'm here back in my own home in our studio. This episode was going to be audio only, and that's how it's going to be moving forward on a weekly basis. We're going to give you guys a new episode every week. And so I'm really excited for this year and the future of the podcast. And to those of you who do listen and partner with us and support us, I just want to say thank you. It's a treat. I count it as a privilege to be able to even do this. And it's because of you guys that I'm able to do it. So thank you for tuning in. And for our first guest of 2025, I'd like to welcome a returning guest, many time guest, my uncle John Katina. Uncle, thank you for being here.
Thank you, Josh. Honored to be here, bud. First guest of 2025. Yeah. Wow.
We've been on a break now for a little over a month, and I figured, you know, the people love to hear from my uncles, and I know my Uncle John is always a stellar guest, and so I figured we kick it off with a bang with you. How have you been? How's the start of the year been for you?
The start of the year has been, man, it's been great. Like you said, we've been home for pretty much all of January, and that's been great. Obviously, spending a lot of time home, but also at K5 HQ, where we meet, and we've been meeting there a lot, just really talking about the future, which is a lot of 2025, and some things that we want to do, maybe things that we don't want to do again that we've done in the past. A lot of, I would say, just sessions of vision casting, and also with Love Squared, some of our amazing team that work the outreach part of Katina Ministries. And so, yeah, it's been good in that sense to really kind of take a little breather to reflect on last year, but also see what's ahead. And we're excited about some overseas travel, some things with the cousin community coming up. Yeah. Then also getting to spend time with my boys. I've got two boys that still live here, and the other three, Zion River and Steel, live out of town. But they've been coming in on weekends, and so been a lot of family time with the boys and my wife Shelley, and then our daughter Samantha.
Nice. Well, yeah, I know that it's been somewhat, we did have like a resting period after the Christmas tour, pretty much a month mm-hmm. of resting and also planning for the year. I think the beginning of the year for the Katinas is interesting because just kind of the rhythm of what we do, we kind of start over from scratch every January. Yep. We go but year by year basically, mm-hmm. and I don't know, I think there is some I don't know what the word, maybe tension of like, or uncertainty mm-hmm. at the beginning of every year, because the calendar's empty.
Yeah.
And you know, like I said, we got to start from scratch. Do you ever get used to that? Like, you've been doing this for several decades now, where every January you kind of got to start over. Do you get used to, is it just normal to you at this point, or is there still like that uncertainty you have?
I think the word you use, tension, is the right word. So with that, I think there's always that place of being nervous. So it's very much a, you know, we've said this for years, that what we do in ministry is very much a it's a faith ministry, because we definitely do plan, and there are probably a dozen anchor dates that we'll have booked from last year.
Right.
But you know, 12 dates is not enough to keep the ship going. So we then have to build off of that. So that's mainly, you know, talking about the live dates, because the live dates are still the bread and butter of what keep the lights on, keep the machine going for Catena Ministries. But what's cool now, I guess, since 2020, is that we can focus on things like the podcast, and our community, our online community, and different things that we can do there. And God has really been faithful to give us that revenue stream, so that we don't have to be gone for 100 dates.
Yeah,
I'd say the last 5 years, if we can do 70 dates, that's been a good thing. So yeah, there's always a uncertainty, but it keeps you you then have to work hard, but we pray hard too, and we this is all about, and I love it. It's a place where we always have to trust God, and you know what? He does his best work when we trust him.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's the way it is. But I don't know. I don't think I would change it. I think it keeps us honest. It keeps us on our toes. It keeps us trusting. It keeps us hopefully walking in humility before God.
Yeah. You may not have an answer to this question. I'm sure you've been asked it before, because I've had people ask me it. I want to ask, though, how long do you think you can keep this up? Like, how long do you see yourself, just you individually, touring, traveling and doing live shows? Because it's obviously, it can't last forever,
right?
How often do you think about that?
I think about it more, and I would say the other four brothers, your dad and the other uncles, we actually talk about it more now. And I don't think I think there was a time, probably even maybe 5 years ago, where we would shy away from the conversation, because this is all we've known. And so the idea of like being in your 50s, or for some almost 60, and trying to, you know, change careers is a scary thought. But you know, when I was talking about what we're doing online and having an amazing community called the Cousin Community, it's not a big community, but it's a very loyal community.
Mm-hmm.
Because of the shift in technology and how we're able to not hopefully just depend on live shows in the future, I feel like we can go a lot longer. It's going to look different. I think the touring, the live dates, I could see that probably dissipating maybe in the next 10 years.
Yeah.
Maybe it could be before that. But working together, creating content, having a unison voice with my brothers, can go on for as long as we want to, because you know, technology is such that we can stay home and come to the viewer or the listener. And I think that's cool. That's the cool thing about technology.
Have you ever in the past, like, was there ever a season where you thought maybe this was it? Maybe it was like time to find another job, or?
I would say there was one situation, and it was back when we, man, the the overhead was high, and we just weren't managing the business side of things well.
Mm-hmm.
It was a season where we were doing a bunch of festivals well over 20 years ago, and we had dancers. We would take buses out, tour buses. We had management. We had a booking agent, a financial accountant.
A lot of mouths to feed.
A lot of mouths to feed, and we just weren't counting the costs.
Yeah.
That there was a time where we had a meeting with our accountant one day, and he said, "Hey, I don't know how you're going to get paid the next pay period." And we were really thinking, okay, I think we're in close shop. But I still don't really remember how we made it out of that, but we did. But that definitely was, it was probably 20 years ago when that happened. So we learned a lot.
Mm-hmm.
We had to, there were a lot of things that weren't totally necessary. They were fun, and it was cool to do and to have, that we had to say, no, we don't need this, and we can do it without that. Shortly after that is when we pretty much brought everything in-house, and that's back when we had our dear brother who's in heaven, Charlie, and our other brother, Neil, working for us, and we basically told the two of them that, man, it's going to be the five of us and you two. We got to just figure it out.
Wow.
And that was the beginning of a great stretch of about another 15 years where we just did things differently.
Mm-hmm.
And then there came another transition where we parted ways. It was a great conversation. It was hard. When both Charlie and Neil went off and did something else, and we each gave each other our blessings, and we're still great, great, great friends with Uncle Neil, Charlie. We miss him dearly, and now we're here. It seems like, man, maybe after 10 or 15 years season, there's another adjustment that needs to be made.
Yeah.
So. Who knows? Maybe there's another in 5 years, 10 years. There's something that's going to look different about the way we operate and we do things.
Yeah, I just had a memory of there was a time when I was there was like a 2 year period in my childhood where I was homeschooled actually, and so I was at home all the time. And I remember it might have been during this season of transition for you guys, or a season of transition. I remember this was before you guys had an office or anything.
Mm-hmm.
The uncles would come over multiple times a week and just meet at my parents' house.
Oh, yeah.
Down at the table. And,
yep. Totally.
I remember knowing that something was changing at that time. And it's cool to see where we've come, where you guys have come since that season. And
yeah, I think there's always been this... And maybe we saw this in our parents, sort of a survival kind of mentality where, like, hey, we can't just quit, you know, let's figure this thing out. And it's not to say that it's not a difficult season, because those were all the two different episodes that I've talked about were very much difficult things, but we grew from it. We learned some things, and I just love the tenacity that you don't know you have until you're going through stuff. And the partnership that I have with these four other guys, and we've been partners for, man, over 35 years, is only time does that. You know, the more years that goes by, if you just look each other in the eyes and say, hey, this is what we do, this is what we know how to do, you just figure it out. And coupled with the grace of God, we're still here. And to your previous question, it's the reason why I would say that with the advantages of technology, I could see us working in some form or fashion beyond just the live dates.
Yeah.
So.
Well, I'm glad you brought up lessons you learned from your parents, because I know, speaking of your parents and your family, you and my dad and my uncles and all my aunties and my mom just got back from a family reunion mm-hmm. out in the, on the West Coast. And I think this is interesting for me to say, I've never been to a family reunion. Yeah. I've pretty bit, I have a lot of family on both yeah. sides of both sides, and I've never been to a family reunion. I just want to ask you, could you tell us about your time? What part of the family were you with? I think maybe some people would be interested to know on what, like, does a Samoan family reunion look like? How's it come together? How was all of that?
Yeah, man, we had just one of the most amazing times. I have not been to a lot of family reunions myself, but this past weekend we got to be a part of our mom, our mother, Cianu, who passed away years ago. It was her side of the family. Now let me say this: my mom was adopted when she was just a little girl by the Almavai family. The Almavai family was closely related to her biological family, which is the Toilolo family. And so this reunion was my mom's biological side of the family, the Toilolos. Very interesting in that she stayed very close to, you know, both sides, the people mm-hmm. that adopted her and her biological side of the family. So this reunion was, they call them the Magnificent Seven. It was my mom and her six siblings. She had two sisters and four brothers. And so everyone there was connected to the Magnificent Seven.
Okay.
And it was amazing. I met so many nieces and nephews that I've never met before.
Wow.
I think the count was around 290 people, so 300 people.
Wow, that's big.
And yeah, well, we were calculating, Josh, that because there were a lot of people not that were not there, that was probably just a third
wow.
of offspring from the Magnificent Seven.
Yeah. Yeah. That is amazing.
But it was a it was a 3-day event. We could only be there for 2 days because we had a show on Sunday. Man, we got to learn a lot about the history of the Toilolo family. For most of us, our knowledge is that we hail from Leone American Samoa, but my brother Dave introduced us to another part of the history that I would say 90% of the people in the room didn't know. But we actually come from Tangasavai, which is Tangasavai is in the island of Savai, which is a part of the independent island uh-huh. of Samoa. And Leone is in American Samoa. And so story has it that the first known Toilolo got on a canoe and just was trying to figure out, man, where do I go? Wow. And he just started paddling and ended up in the village of Leone. And that's kind of where the Toilolo family as we know it now came from. But we really came from Tangasavai.
Wow.
So that was an interesting part of the history. But I think I would say the highlight for me is just getting to know a lot of my nieces and nephews, which would be your second cousins.
Wow.
My generation in the family, we're like the third generation of this Toilolo clan. we're the uncles and the aunties mm-hmm. now. And so I'm so proud that, you know, you have to be intentional to keep a family that size together or have moments like this. I guess the last one was over 10 years ago. But that one was kind of coupled with other families. This is the first of this kind from the seven siblings.
Hmm.
And so we hope to keep it going. And They're hoping to try to do one every 3 years, and I think that would be great. And it'll be interesting to see how the family grows, because there are a bunch of little toddlers,
yeah,
and just little kids, and that was so special. We have one more uncle left out of the seven.
Mm-hmm.
He suffered a massive stroke about 10 years ago, so he can't speak, but you can see the emotion, and he mm-hmm. was, there would be tears coming down his eyes. You know, he was, they say he's still very aware and his mind is sharp. And so I'm sure, I can't imagine what he would have said, you know, if he could speak, but it was great to at least have him there. And so they had big old pictures of the other six.
Wow.
Framed, and everywhere we went, we just took those pictures with us.
That's awesome.
We had a day at the park, and then rented a couple hall venues for the other events. But man, I'm hoping that you and your Tennessee cousins can be a part of that.
I really want to.
And y'all's kids, you know.
Yeah.
So.
I think it's interesting. This may sound unrelated, but I promise I'll tie it in. I've been listening to a lot of podcasts lately about like ancient history and like predating even prehistory. Like one of the topics that comes up is the history of the Polynesians. Like there are theories, but there really is no confirmed known reason or way. People don't know how Polynesians got to Polynesia. Mm-hmm. And just hearing the story about, it's kind of like legend. Well, the first mm-hmm. Tololo, he took a canoe. Maybe that's true. Maybe mm-hmm. it's not. Mm-hmm. We don't really know. But I do think when I listen to these things in ancient history, these are real people who lived real lives and real things happened to them. And we don't really know very much for sure about them. There are not a lot of things that last. But I think, you know, when I think about things that do last, when I think about the reunion you guys just went to, there's something there that has been passed down from generations to generations. Even if we don't know for sure where it came from, we know it's still there, and it's that love for family.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you start thinking about things like legacy. Like that's the one word that comes to my mind, is the legacy of my grandmother, who I've never met here on earth. I do still feel like I know her in a way, because there are things that from the way she lived her life that still last till today. And I wonder if maybe you had any experiences at the reunion where you felt something that was lasting, that, that was here before you came and will be here long after you go.
That's so good, Josh. Yes, I definitely, while we're at the reunion, so there's certain names that are, there's so many nieces that have my mom's name or one of my other aunties, Auntie Samalaulu. There's a bunch of them running around. On the guy's side of things, there's several Joes. There's several Matthews.
Hmm.
So I think there's something powerful in a name. And my hope is that the Tololo name, not just the name, but the there are certain characteristics or maybe even mentality. There's a spirit of a family. And I saw that displayed quite a bit. This family, the Tololo family now, and there are a lot of pastors, there are a lot of men in ministry. And if you study the history, I mean, there were always priests and pastors, you know, even four generations removed from where we're at today.
Wow.
And I don't know, I think there's there's a lot of athletes too. I always wondered, you know, with you and Eli and my boys and all of our kids are so tall. And well, just being at that reunion, I'm like, man, this it's from the Toilolo side. You know, we've got your cousin Levine, Toilolo's all of 6'8". There were several kids there. And come to find out, they're very sought after. They're like sophomores and freshmen in high school. They're like 6'5". Wow. You know, just
it missed mom. Your guys' generation.
I know, very, very much. We were talking to some of our other cousins, first cousins, so we were like a part of the third generation. We were like, man, what happened?
Yeah.
What happened? But there's definitely something lasting in certain, not just regions, but even families. And we saw that on display. And excuse me, we got to talk to some of the nieces who remembered my mom and some of the things, some of my mom's characteristics and personalities that really impacted them. And you kind of see that in the way they carry themselves.
Yeah.
That was beautiful to see.
I think maybe I've been thinking about legacy a lot too, because, so this is, every year, probably for the last, I don't know, maybe close to 10 years, I started the year with like a read the Bible in a year plan.
Mm-hmm.
Just complete full disclosure, I've never finished it.
Mm-hmm.
I've always tried. I've never finished it, but I'm still going right now.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't missed a day. And obviously you start the beginning of the Old Testament, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, you're hearing the story of a family, really, of Abraham's family. And one thing I have been reflecting on is how both blessings and curses seem to get passed down from generation to generation.
Yep.
And I think the story of the Bible is, one of the stories of the Bible is the redemption that God can bring through generations, how we don't have to hold on to the same chains that our father or our grandfather held on to. And on the other end of that, the blessings that our father and grandfather and great grandfathers have, it seems like those fall down from generation to generation.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. I often find solace in knowing that there's certain struggles in my own life that I've faced. I have a feeling I'm not the first person to face them. Mm-hmm. I think my dad and my uncles and my grandfather and grandmothers and aunts, I don't know. There are things that we've carried with us for a long time. And in reading, you know, the Old Testament, I see that God is working from generation to generation to break those chains. And I don't know. I think that there's beauty in that. And it must have been fun to be with multiple generations of your family and see just the work that God has done over the decades.
Yeah, you hit it on the nail. I think there's, I've been hearing this, and I think maybe your dad said it not too long ago, but everything belongs, you know. It's you were talking about the blessings and the cursings, and I've talked a lot about some of the just beautiful things that I experienced. But there were one of my cousins, she was kind of breaking down or going through the family tree, and then there were certain parts of it where she was like, you know, what's interesting about the, and this could be I believe it is present in any family tree, is that there are some dark secrets. There's some things that a lot of people don't want to talk about, and so they sweep it under the rug. And so was the case with our family tree.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I think there's all of those. There's the beauty is in maybe the, we see the outward success, but there's also the struggle that no doubt I think any family, especially a big family like the Toilolo family, we've had our fair share of those. But you know, it's kind of what makes up who we are, and Now it's kind of like up to us. Okay, how do we move forward? How do we stay together? How do we keep it together? Even knowing that, man, there were some things passed down that, yeah, maybe we're not proud of, but it is what it is in so many situations. And so it's everything that exists or existed, and we're still part of this lineage of some amazing things and maybe some things that weren't so great.
Yeah, I was just reminded several years ago, I got really into researching my family tree. And I bought like a subscription to one of those websites that gives you access to like all the public records and stuff like that. And unfortunately, I don't think Samoans are great record keepers, mm-hmm. at least like paper records. Yeah. So on my dad's side of the family, from what I could research, I could only find like actual official documents and records going back to my grandparents. Mm-hmm. But on my mom's side of the family, it goes far back. Yeah. My mom's the Hill family. Mm-hmm. And, I was able to find the first Hill who came to America. But, I remember there was this one ancestor I have on my mom's side. It's like four or five, maybe even six generations ago. The only like document that I could find of him, well, I should say this, it's hard to find photos when you go that old.
Yeah.
But I found a photo of this, I guess you might, great, however many times, grandfather. Mm-hmm. And it was a mugshot. I found his like arrest record, and I forgot what he was in jail for, but
He was a tough guy.
Yeah, he was a tough guy. And I saw his mugshot, and I thought it was funny to think, look where I came from. Like, I've never been arrested, so maybe that curse has been broken eventually.
But yeah.
It's fun to see, like, where we come from and the things that our family struggled with and also overcome.
Yeah.
And I know my grandfather on my dad's side has also been arrested a few times.
Right, so, right. One thing I think you'll find interesting is just, so there's, even at the Toilolo reunion, you know, Samoans are, we have darker complexion for the most part. And I'm sure a lot of Polynesians find this, but there were a good amount of cousins, nieces, and nephews that more fair skinned. And we found out through the family tree that it would have been my mom's great great grandfather. So it'd have been my great great. So it'd be four generations removed from me and maybe five from you. Me. Was a gentleman by the name of Joe Hunkin.
Wow.
I always knew the Hunkin last name, but he was straight Caucasian.
Wow.
And met a Samoan lady who was from the Toilolo family. Anyway, from the Toilolo family. But it explains kind of where, you know, I always thought your dad had fair skin.
Yeah.
And some other cousins that we got to see again. But that was interesting to
it's
me,
pretty cool.
You know, yeah.
Yeah. I think I recently had a moment where I was, I thought it was, I guess, a proud moment. Just a cool thing to see is that there's a Samoan in the presidential cabinet right now.
Mm.
And as far as I know, that she's the first Samoan, right? Tulsi
yes.
Gabbard. I think it's cool to see. For me, it was just cool to see that, wow, someone who shares blood with me is now at the right hand of the president.
Mm.
Have you been paying attention to that?
I've just been very proud and just been following her, Tulsi, closely since she just last year during the campaign. And even when she was a congresswoman, a Democrat congresswoman, I was just so proud of her.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you know this story, though. Auntie Debbie, Uncle Dave's wife,
yeah.
Auntie Debbie, used to pick her up and take her to school.
No way.
In Samoa.
I never knew that.
Because she was the same age as some of Auntie Debbie's nephews that I know. I knew of the name. I don't know that I ever met her in person, but she's a little younger than me. But yeah, that's a pretty cool.
I thought it was cool just to see, like, you know, for Samoan kids growing up, not that there's anything wrong with this, but most of, like, your heroes are athletes.
Yeah.
That's like the peak of what I've seen, at least in the public view of where Samoans can go. And I love Samoan athletes, but I think it's cool that Samoan kids growing up today can know that, hey, there's someone like me who's there in DC and they're smart and brave and strong.
Yeah.
And we can do anything. That. I don't know.
They one of the nights they were recognizing, pretty much they recognized each, they called them clan of the seven. And when they were introducing one of the clans, one of the uncles who would be my generation, he was so proud. He said, "Man, I just have to shout out, we have a doctor in the family."
Wow.
And it's she would be your generation.
Okay.
She's from South Carolina. And then I yelled out, I said, "There's another doctor."
We got
too.
Two.
He's
got
in
two.
Tennessee.
That's awesome.
But I think that's always special because there's, like you said, man, you know, there's a lot of notoriety in sports. There's a lot of great Polynesian and Samoan soldiers in the military. It seems like those two things are, we've got so many, the great population representation in those fields. But, you know, in politics, in the medical field, you know, we're on the come up.
Yeah. One of my favorite Super Bowl commercials this year was, I think it was Rocket or Rocket Money. They had a commercial and it was all about, like, the American dream is for everyone.
Yeah.
And to me, like, hearing that story, we have, there's a Toilolo who's a doctor, two that are doctors. I think our family is a testament to the American dream, that the American dream is still alive.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't know, I'm proud to be an American. And I'm proud that I think this country gives opportunities that are hard to find anywhere else. And it's amazing to think about that. If you believe the story that some guy on a canoe traveling from island to one island to another, that he would have descendants that would reach the places that we have. Not that we're all great,
amazing.
But it's I'm thankful for America and the American dream.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I guess I'll go to a question that I've asked you before, and I'll ask you again. What is going on at home, Uncle John?
Let's see. We've got a lot going on. Some of you know we have, Shelly and I have 9 kids between us. We currently have, one of our daughters, Samantha, is living with us. she maybe one day she'll come on the podcast, when she's ready, but she's had a tough go, for the last couple years. And so we just gave her an open invitation to come and be with us. So she moved. She flew here from San Diego, California, and she's been living with us ever since. And I'm really proud of her. She's working. She's working, but she's also doing a lot of work on herself. A lot of self work, self care, and she's doing really good. And so that's been interesting to just. She's 24, living with us, but just really just, if anything, providing some guidance. But we get to learn from her too, and where she's at in her life. That's kind of been, where we've been the last 6 months. And then also just, watching my boys, Blaze, who's still in high school, spending a lot of time with him, and then Jet, who lives here. I got to speak with him this morning, and we're going to have dinner tonight. It's just interesting that out of the 9 kids, we can only kind of really do life with 3 of them. But it's great because we can stay in communication with the other ones. Shelly and I just got back from California last night, and after the reunion, we got to spend some time with some of her kids that live there and the grandbabies. So, I mean, it takes more work to try to stay connected with all of our offspring. But, you know, we're doing it, and it's fun, you know. And everyone's in a different place. They're all in a great season of life, but, you know, but it all looks fairly different.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's kind of what's going on.
I know one of the things that you talked about on the Christmas tour is kind of what you said about how not all of your kids are nearby to mm-hmm. where you can see them whenever you want to. Mm-hmm. And what is that like? I don't know. How do you maintain connection yeah. with your kids who aren't here in Franklin, Nashville? Like, I'm sure it's not easy.
Yep.
What kind of things do you do to mm-hmm. try and keep that connection strong?
A lot of texting, FaceTime, and I'll be honest, and sometimes, you know, you don't hear back from them for a little while. But I feel like I've done so good in not taking things personal. Like, you know, there's probably a son that won't reply for several weeks. I have a great friend, a counselor, who's told me, man, it's, you know, with what you've been through in the divorce, a lot of times you'll find out, you'll learn that you have to be a waiting dad, and you know, life happens for different ones, and or sometimes there could be some lingering effects from the divorce, and so it just, for whatever reason, it may take, you know, certain ones of them to get back to you, or they may not get back to you. And so you do what you do, and you don't take anything personal. But I text pretty much every day. I know Shelly does that with her kids, a lot of FaceTime. We have a digital frame where people can send pictures.
Yeah.
And
shout out to Auntie Judy.
Yep. We had one before that, and it was cool because it stopped working right before we got the one from Auntie Judy, and so we got it going again. But that's a cool way to kind of see where everybody's at, even when we're not in each of their towns all mm-hmm. the time. But a lot of FaceTime. So yeah, I think you just have to. You know, do your part to stay connected, and just know that, you know, for our kids, everyone's got their lives and they're busy, and they may not get back to you when you want, but you know, you don't take it personal.
Yeah, I know your sons; they're my cousins, yeah. and some of my best friends, and I know they're not perfect, yeah. but I also know they're good men.
Oh yeah,
and the ones who are here and the ones who are. Georgia and East Tennessee, like I know everything's not perfect, but I know they're doing well,
yeah.
and you should be Absolutely. Proud of. I think that's Very a testament proud. To at some level to who their father is, the things that you've taught them and instilled in them.
Thanks,
those
Josh.
Are things that last, and
yep.
so I'm proud of all of those guys. And I actually, so my brother Eli. You probably know this. Him and your son River are mm-hmm. they're kind of working together. Mm-hmm. I think River's like an intern yeah. with Eli. And yesterday, Eli sent us. I have a group text with some of my cousins. He sent us a photo of him and River. We're like on a Zoom call, and I guess they were meeting about whatever, and they're both in their suits and everything. Oh, wow. And I was like, I can't, because I know those guys. I know, I've seen them when they're not wearing suits. And it's funny to see.
That's cool.
I'm just proud of those guys. Yeah. And I know River is, he's getting close to graduating,
yeah,
right?
He's finishing up his junior year, so he's got one more year. I was texting with him yesterday, and, you know, he's just telling me, man, Dad, I can't wait to just really be both feet in and have college behind me. So I just told him, I said, man, I know it's difficult to do that, to do this, but if you can just kind of appreciate this moment and, you know, 5 years from now, you can look back at what you had to do to be at where you're going to be, which will be a much better place. But I'm so, so proud of him, proud of Eli. And like you said, just, man, all of everyone's just, there's still some students, some high school students, college students, and then people who are in the workforce. But everyone's killing it in their own way. And I'm so, such a proud uncle and dad. And I get to, what's cool is even at my age, I get to learn from what you guys are experiencing as young men and women.
Yeah, I'm really, when I think about River, so River's a student at the same school that I graduated from. His experience at Lee's probably, I would assume, is different than mine was, because I had cousins there with me while I was a student. And if I'm being totally honest, I don't know if I would have finished like at least at Lee,
yeah,
if it weren't for specifically Jackson and Dylan and even Caitlin, just that support system that I had at Lee was huge for me.
Yeah,
and River doesn't necessarily have that, at least not on campus with him. And I'm thinking back to like when I was coming up on my last year of school at Lee, like I was pretty much over it by that point. I don't know. I haven't talked to River in depth about this, but I imagine there, I remember that feeling of like, yeah, I'm ready to move on with my life and do something. I want to make money. I want to, you know, I want to get married. I want to do all these, I'm tired of going.
Well, trust me. I hear about it every month, man.
It's hard. Like there's only so long that you can go to school, and some people go a lot longer than I did. And I tip my hat to them. But I am proud of River. I'm confident he's going to finish strong, and he will look back on this season of his life and look back on it fondly, I think.
Absolutely.
There's times I totally remember like being a junior and senior in college where I even felt like I started feeling old, because I would see the freshmen come in and I'd be like, I can't believe I'm in the same phase of life as those guys. Like I should be beyond that.
Yeah.
Even though they're only like 3 years younger than me. But Riv, if you listen to this, man, you just go to class, pass your tests, and the future is bright.
Yeah. 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 Absolutely.
All right, Uncle. Well, I guess we'll finish, and I'd like to give you just an opportunity to close us out with an encouraging word, if you have one for us today.
We talked a lot about family and legacy. And I guess just freshly coming off of this experience at the Toilolo family reunion, I'm still kind of just on a high of just what we got to experience. And so what I would say to anyone listening, whether you have close relationships in your family or maybe you don't, I think it would do your soul a lot of good to do some of your own research. I mean, Josh, you talked a lot about some of the things that you like to do with family history and genealogy and family trees. I think, you know, especially if you come from a family that has tight-knit. Find ways to be intentional and just put some effort towards trying to find out where it all started. Mm. It might answer some of your own questions of why you are the way that you are. I'm talking about the good and maybe the bad, and it could answer some of those questions. And then for just the family at large, man, do whatever you have to do to stay together, keep growing together. And even in the mistakes, in the tension of your lives, man, figure out ways to continue to love each other, promote each other, to be there for each other. I think it's one of the things that I just counted a blessing as I was with the extended family from where I come from. And, man, this world would be a better place, man, if families can continue to grow together through the good times and the bad times.
Thank you, Uncle. There's a book by C.S. Lewis called Mere Christianity that I read probably a year ago, and he talked about what it means to love your neighbor. And one of the things that stuck with me was that one of the most profound things that he was taught was to remember that we walk amongst immortals, meaning the people that we see in our lives, our family, they're going to live forever in eternity, one place or another. There's something special about humans and something special about our neighbor. And I think that I'm reminded with you what we talked about today is to honor the humanity of each person, to love our neighbor and love our family, and know that each person in our family, in our history, and even those that come after us, their life is ordained by God and something special. And I think it can change the way that we live if we see people like
that. That's good.
Thank you, Uncle.
Great word. Thank you, Josh.
I'll have you back here sooner than later, probably. Love you so much.
Love that. Love you.
To those of you listening, thank you for tuning in. We'll be back with more episodes soon. Have a great day.